Sleeping. It's good to see everybody. I wanted to discuss a mahalach that is very germane in the parsha and connects to the avos in general. The Gemara says in Yuma b'daf chof chesem and beis chukosai v'sarasai that Avim Avinu is mekayim kol haTorah kulo deraisim derabbanans. Even erev tavshilin. The Vilna Gaon's Gemara says, even Erev Tchumen. He knew b'nevuah what the Torah was, what the mitzvahs were, and he did them all, both the Rais and the Rabbonim. And the Kasha must be asked, why is it that Avram Avinu waits to be commanded in the mitzvah of Mila found in our Parsha? If he did everything on his own, both the Rais and the Rabbonim's, why did he sit back passively and wait for the tzivui of Mila when all the other mitzvahs in the Torah fulfilled proactively? Why did he wait for a commandment? This is the first kasha that we want to deal with. So I want to give three answers to answer this kasha. Number one, the Vilna Gaon writes, the mitzvah of Mila could only be fulfilled one time, and one time only. And we have a klal in the Gemara Kedusha, b'daf lamed aleph, lamed aleph. Greater is the person that's commanded and does a mitzvah than one who voluntarily does it. As Tosfos writes in Kedushin, because it's a Yetzer Hara. When someone tells you to do something, your innate reaction is, I don't want to do it. I'm going to do what I want. The Yetzer Hara tells you not to do it. And you conquer that Yetzer Hara and you follow Hashem and you do the mitzvahs, you get that much more reward. Gol mitzvah v'misha'ena mitzvah. Greater is the person who's commanded and does a mitzvah than someone who voluntarily does it. And therefore, the Gaon says, Avram Avinu thinks to himself, the mitzvah of Mila can only be fulfilled once. Let me fulfill it in a mode where I'm commanded rather than I do it voluntarily. Therefore, the first answer emerges. This is why he waited to be commanded on the mitzvah of Mila, because he wanted to fulfill the mitzvah in the manner of mitzvah voisa, rather than voluntarily doing it. However, the Brisker Rav gives two other answers to answer this kasha. The Rav, Rav Soloveitchik, Zatzal's uncle, the Brisker Rav, Zatzal, says the following. The Gemara says in the Darim, B'daf Lamed Aleph, Lamed Aleph, there are 13 covenants that are connected to the mitzvah of Mila. 13 packs, 13 brisim, Shlosh Esrei Krisis, Nichrusu b'bris mila. And anytime you have a pact and a covenant and an agreement, it has to be bilateral, not unilateral. There is a commandment, and then there's a response. If Avram Avinu would voluntarily fulfill the mitzvah of Mila, it would not be a fulfillment. It would not accomplish a pact or a covenant because he did it unilaterally. Therefore, he waits to be commanded the mitzvah of Mila, and then he responds by fulfilling the mitzvah, because that would concretize and invoke and implement this pact and covenant. It was a bilateral agreement. Hashem commanded him. He responded with the fulfillment. And because of that, unlike any other mitzvah, there is this bris, this covenant pact agreement that is involved with the mitzvah, is engendered in the mitzvah of Mila. Therefore, he had to wait for a commandment. And then the second answer, the Brisker Rav, third answer in total to answer this kasha is as follows. If Avram Avinu would voluntarily try to fulfill the mitzvah of Mila, what would happen was this would not be a mitzvah. It would be a surgery. All it would be is a surgery or removal of the foreskin of the orla. It would not fulfill any points in Shemayim. It would not be called a kiyuma mitzvah. The reason being is because until you are commanded in the midst of Mila, you are not a shame Aral. An Aral is a Jewish man who is uncircumcised. It's a status, a negative status, that is, but it is a status. An Aral cannot eat a Korban Pesach. A Kohen that's an Aral cannot eat Truma. Of course, he is born Jewish. There used to be a Yiddish expression that they would yell out in Eastern Europe before the bris, we're going to make him Jewish right before they do the mila. That statement, it was wrong. Rav Schechter Shlit always taught us. The kid is Jewish from the second he's born. He has a Jewish mother. There's a mitzvah milah. He's not Jewish now when the mitzvah milah happens. He was Jewish when he was born. But a milah only makes sense and is fulfilled as a mitzvah if you are an Aral. And until Avram was commanded in the mitzvah milah, he was not a shem Aral. And therefore, he couldn't voluntarily fulfill the mitzvah milah because all it would be is a surgery. Why? Because it was meaningless. Once you are commanded in the mitzvah milah and you don't fulfill it, you're an Aral. And on that status of an Aral, there is a meaningfulness of the mitzvah milah. That's why the Meshech Chochma says so beautifully in the Parsha that Hashem is speaking to Avram and all of a sudden he falls on his face. Vayipol aponav. Why did he fall on his face? Hashem had talked to Avram before many times. All of a sudden now he falls on his face. The answer, says the Meshech Chochma, is that this was the first time Hashem spoke to Moshe after the tzivui of the Mila and he hadn't yet fulfilled it. He was an Aral. And the Gemara comments in Chagiga and Dalam and Aleph that an Aral is Me'usa. An Aral is repulsive in Hashem's eyes. And that's why he fell on his face. This is a very, very powerful pshat because Rav Michal Katzav Shlita, one of our Rebbeim in Eretz Yisrael, Shalbim, now he's a Rosh Yeshiva in Beit Shemesh, once said in the name of Reb Chaim, this is the pshat in Taisus. The Gemara in Kedushin writes, a father is obligated to mal his son. A mother is not obligated to see to it that her son gets a milah. How do we know that? It says, Kasher Tziva Elokim Oso. As Hashem commanded Avram, Oso v'lo Oso. Hashem commanded Avram and not Sarah. So all the Rishonim are bothered by Akasha. Why does the Gemara need to dig up a pasuk to exempt a mother? Why don't you just say it's a mitzvah seshe shebizman groma? Mitzvah seshe shebizman groma, women are pturis. And if that's the case, you don't need to dig up a marker, Oso v'lo Oso. So there are 11 terutzim to that kasha. We're not going to go through all 11 now. But the answer that Tosis gives is that the mitzvah milah begins at day 8, and it's a running mitzvah if you assume, like the Tana, which we don't hold like, that a milah shelo bezman is good bein b'yom bein b'layla. Tosis says the Gemara Kedusha is going like that Tana. We don't hold like that Tana. We paskin that a milah always has to be b'yom, no matter what type of mitzvah, whether it's bezman or shelo bezman, always got to be b'yom and not b'layla. No matter what, all the time. So if that's the case, if we find the mitzvah of milah is always beyond, it starts at day 8 and is a running chiyuv for the rest of this guy's life. So that's a mitzvah shelo bezman groma. So I would think women would be mechuyuv. Kamash man, the pasuk says, osov lo osov. That's a very, very beautiful teretz of Taisus, like all the teretz from the Rishonim, Gedolei Acharonim, the Seira, the Baalei HaMesira. But it's troubling at first glance, Al Pisvara. Why does Tosfos ignore 0 to 8? Well, if the mitzvah milah begins at day 8 and it's a running chiyuv, that's fine. But until day 8, there was no chiyuv, so that's a zman groma. Isn't the zman being gayrim at day 8? Why does Tosfos assume that the ballpark, in a sense, of the mitzvah milah begins at day 8 and there's a running chiyuv? The fact of the matter is, that should be called zman groma because it starts at day 8. That's what Reb Chaim was quoted asking on Taisa. So the Pshat says, Reb Chaim, exactly this. You know why it's a blank from 0 to 8? That we don't look at it, we don't count it? It doesn't make it a Zman Groma? Because the world of the mitzvah milah begins at day 8 and is constant? Is because there's no shame aral until day 8. There's no shame aral until day 8. And therefore, the mitzvah milah, the world of Mila begins at day 8 onward. And since it's a running chiyuv, that's conceptually a mitzvah eshe shelo bezman groma. I would think that women would be mechuyev. Pasuk says, osov lo osa. But Reb Chaim says, this lomdus is what Tosfos is driving at. And this is why Tosfos, and this is why Avraham Avinu waited to be commanded in the mitzvah of Mila, because if he would have done it voluntarily, it would have been meaningless. It would have just been a surgery. So he had to wait till the tzivui to be called a shem aral, and then he did the mitzvah of milah. So the three answers that we're giving as to why Avraham Avinu waited for the tzivui of milah, even though we have a Messiah based on the Gemara in Yom Chav Chesem and Beis, that he fulfilled all the rites and all the rabbanans. This is the first mahalach wanted to suggest. Let us move now to the following. There's a major, major discussion amongst the Gedolei Achronim. What is the status of the Avos Kodesh Matan Torah? Were they Yisraelim or were they Bnei Noach? And this has a lot of ramifications, halacha l'maisa. You might ask, why would this be have ramifications, halacha l'maisa? This is historical shaila. You know, what would happen if a person comes to me in the middle of Shabbos in Shul and was a ger, and he says to me, Rav, I'm not sure whether the Beis Din that converted me was Orthodox or not. If it's Orthodox, it's a good geris. If it was Reform Beis Din, then it's not a good geris. How am I supposed to deal with this fellow on his observance of Shabbos, the rest of Shabbos? Why? On the status that he's a Yisrael, Yisrael's got to observe Shabbos. Shabbos is one of the greatest mitzvahs we have. Main Olam Haba. On the tzad that he's a goy that observes Shabbos is Chayv Misin Shamayim, Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Daf Nun Zayin Amud Aleph. So what were the all of us supposed to do? In fact, what was this guy? What am I supposed to tell this guy that asks me the shaila in the middle of Shabbos? See, when it comes to Talmud Torah, that's not a problem. What do you mean? A Jew has to learn Torah, Talmud Torah, Kenenkum. A goy that learns Torah is Chayv Misa in Shemaim. Don't you have the same problem what the others learned? What am I going to tell this guy the rest of Shabbos to learn? So that we could solve by saying they study the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. On the Tzad Yisrael, that's Torah. On the Tzad of Bnei Noach, the Gemara says that Bnei Noach is allowed to learn the dinim of Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. That's called a goy that's Osik B'Torah is like a Kohen Gadol. Complimentary, if he's learning Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach. So it's Talmud Torah we could solve. We could get out of that quagmire by solving it, by saying they learned what the Shev Mitzvah Bnei Noach, all the dinim, the halachas, the lamdas. However, when it comes to Shabbos, it's a very difficult question. What do we do about the observance of Shabbos for this man, and what did the others actually do themselves? So I want to suggest six answers to this kasha. How the others and what we would tell or recommend this fellow to do the rest of Shabbos. Could also be a shaila, which is probably not so practical, but the Mishnah discusses you find a baby in the street in a city where the population was half Jewish and half non-Jewish. What do you do with this boy or girl that when they grow up regarding their observance of Shabbos? Do we assume the child's Jewish or the child is non-Jewish? What would they do about the observance of Shabbos? So let's suggest six answers to answer this kasha. The first one is from the Pardes Yosef. We would tell you, and the Avos would say, they did Malach on Saturday night. How does that solve anything? Friday night and Saturday, they observed Shabbos beautifully. On Saturday night, they did a Malach. They turned lights on. They carried outside with no Erev. They wrote. If you hold their Yidim, the Jewish halachic day begins at night. The only area in halacha that begins in the morning is kachim, chulin, pegim, lamed aleph. That says v'yirev v'yivokri yom echad. The Jewish day begins at night halachically. However, for bnei noach, it says yom v'layel lo yishbosu, last week's parsha. The secular day begins in the morning. So a bnei noach that observes Shabbos is chayv misa, but he has to observe a whole Shabbos. He doesn't do any malacha. Even if he observes Tuesday as a Shabbos, he's stealing the sign between Hashem and the Jewish people. And he's chayv misa in shamayim for it. These are chayv misa in shamayim. That's why it's not one of the Shemitz Benoach. Shemitz Benoach is his misa's based in for the sixth negative. The seventh, which is the positive, to set up a court system, that's also not chayv misa on this earth. But this is a beautiful answer. They would make sure they did malach on Saturday night. On the side, they were yidim. They observed Friday night and Shabbos beautifully. Saturday night, they did malach. On the tzad, they were a goy. They didn't fulfill a first full Saturday and a Saturday night without doing malacha. They did the malach on Saturday night. That's the first answer we'd like to suggest. And I would tell that fellow who asked me this about his geiris, please do malacha Saturday night. Make sure you turn lights on. Make sure you write. Make sure you carry outside where there's no Erev in a place where it's Rosh Hashanah. That's the first answer. Second answer from the Binyan Sinan is the following. Maybe we can break the premise that the definition of malach is the same. Who says the definition of malach is the same for Bnei Noach or for Yisraelim? Maybe for Yisrael, it's the Lamates Melachos in the Mishkan. Not maybe, it is. Mishkan Ayin Gimel and Alf, the Lamates Melachos in the Mishkan, Tyson Psachim Tzkuf Yitzayin and Beis, is the Jew, Melacha that the Jews did in Mitzrayim, or the Zohar writes the 39 activities Hashem did to build the world. Those are the three models. So, you know what the Avos would do? They wouldn't do any of those Melachos. But I'll tell you what they would do. They would schwitz. They'd set up the chairs and the tables in the shul. That's the definition of Melacha for a Ben Noach. If you schwitz and work, and you work hard, that would break the concept of the Ben Noach observe Shabbos. Because the bottom line is that he did schwitz. He did perspirate. He did work. He set up all the tables and chairs in the shul. Took them down, put them up, set up the mechitzas. If you assume that's Mutal Pidin, but the tables and chairs, you're not carrying them outside. So on the Tzad Yisraelim, they didn't do any one of the Lamates Melachas. On the Tzad of Ben Noach, they did work. Working means different, that they schwitzed. And that gets you out of the problem. Ben Noach Sheshavas is Chayv Misa. That's the second answer. Third answer, and the rest of the answers, well, let's assume the definition of Malach is the same like the first answer. Second answer said it was different. Let's assume for all the other answers, the definition of Malach is the same. Third answer is in the Cheshek Shlomo. Cheshek Shlomo writes they wore tzitzis. What do you mean they wore tzitzis? How does that solve anything? They didn't have an Erev. If they didn't have an Erev, what would happen? They would carry outside wearing tzitzis. On the Tzad, they're Jews. That's not caring. That's called a malbush. A Yid has to wear tzitzis. On the Tzad, they're B'nai Noach, Goyim are M'chuyvin tzitzis. We call that a masa. They're carrying something when they went outside. If they're carrying something, they got out of the problem of Goy Sheshavas is Chayv Misa because they did not rest. They did a Malach of Otsa. This is again assuming the definition of Malach is the same. That's what they would do when they would wear tzitzis. Amazing Kiddush. Is it a malbush or is it a masa? Our Rebbe, Rabbanan Soloveitchik Zatzal, was machber for the Shita of the Balamor that Tchelis is ma'akev. Machlis Tanoim Chacham Balamor. Most Rishonim Paschal like Chacham that Tchelis is not ma'akev. The Balamor says we have to Paschal like the Rabbeinu HaKadosh, that Tchelis is ma'akev. So if you don't have an Erev and you walk outside on Shabbos, you could be caring, said Rabbanan Soloveitchik. He didn't wear tzitzis outside on Shabbos because he was afraid of that Balamor. Turns out you're not filling the mitzvah, so you're caring. It's a masa, not a malbush. It's a masa, not a malbush. And therefore, he was machben in general about Erevin, many Erevin. He would require its Rosh Hashanah because he was machber for Shitas Rambam that doesn't require 600,000 people. So you can have a Rosh Hashanah without 600,000 people, so you need to paint walls. He didn't think that Tzuras HaPesach would be good enough. He was machber on that. But what we're bringing out is that if you're mechuyvin tzitzis, it's a malbush. If you're not mechuyvin tzitzis and wearing it, it's a masa. That's a third answer. Fourth answer, according to the Minchas Chinuch, if you point out Halacha L'Maaseh, Rashi in Shabbos, Daf Ayin Daled Amud Aleph says there's a din of chetzi shir by Hilchos Shabbos. If you do borer less than a shir, let's say the shir is a grogris, you do less than a grogris, you chayv in boyer. You write one letter, you need two letters to be chayv skili, write one letter, is chetzi shir. The din chetzi shir. Where's Chet Yishir found in Yuma? Daf Ayin Daled Amud Aleph Machlis Rabbi Yochanan Shlokish. You're not allowed to eat a kikosevus agas in Yom Kippur. What happens if you eat less than that? It's Usher. Rabbi Yochanan says Usher D'Oraisa. Shlokish says Usher Ben D'Rabbanan. We pass like Rabbi Yochanan. Why is Chet Yishir Usher Min HaTeir? Either because of the pasuk Kol Chelav Lo So Chelu, any iota of Chelav you cannot eat, or because of a svar of Chazal it's the Rufe. I've eaten a half a gazayas. And I ate another half of kazayas, that equals one kazayas. So there's a significance even in the half. But also there could be approach that chazal tzerufi is a gzeru. If I eat half a kazayas, I might lead me to eat another kazayas, another half a kazayas, and I end up eating a kazayas. Could be that's a gzeru. I mean, I tell you, usually gzeru is a drobonon. So it could be, you know what the office would do? Write one letter. An etzad der Yisraelim, they didn't do a chiv skila, they didn't do a malacha, because they were fastidious and tzadikim, they'd make sure they didn't write two. On the Tzad of Rabbeinu Noach, the Rambam writes in Perek Tesenuchos Malach, there are no shirim Rabbeinu Noach. There are no shirim Rabbeinu Noach at all. The shirim of a kezayis, of a revis, all the concept of shirim amounts are halach l'moshe m'sinai. Gemara says in Brachos Daf Mem Amrav, Gemara Neirav in Daf Vav, Gemara in Sukkah Daf Hei. The concept of shirim, those three places in Shas, is halach l'moshe m'sinai. That was given to Yidim, not to Rabbeinu Noach. So if you wrote one letter and you were a goy, is we treat it as if you did kosev. So on the tzad Yisraelim, I didn't do a malacha. I only did one letter. Maybe it's a problem of Chazal Srufe. It was like a gzeira, but they would be fastidious not to write another letter. On the tzad of Bnei Noach, there's no shirim for Bnei Noach. Maybe we treat it as if they did a malacha. There's a story told of Reb Shmuel Salant, the great Gaon, chief rabbi of Yishalayim. So that's all. He once went away for Shabbos with a scout in residence somewhere else, and his assistant, Reb Usher Lemel, took over, and he had this shiloh. There was a gear that had milah and hadn't yet gone to the mikveh. He was recuperating from the milah. What's he supposed to do on Shabbos of his observance? There's a Rosh Ben Yavam Stafayim Beis Manal that says with milah without tefillah, maybe you're a mixus Yisrael. Could be you're a partial Yisrael. What do you do with this guy who's observance of Shabbos? If he's a goy, he can't observe Shabbos. If he's a yid, he has to. You know what Rabbi Shalom will tell him? Write one letter. So Rabbi Shmuel Salant came back after Shabbos. He said, you made a mistake in Pesach. He didn't like that. He didn't want him to do that. But nonetheless, maybe Helchat Yeshua was also in that Torah based on the Pasuk. Maybe he said it has a significance on its own as an Xerah. So up till now, what would we tell this fellow who comes to me and he says, Rolf, he was Megarb. He's not sure whether the Beis was Orthodox. What do we say what the others did? We would tell him, number one, do Malacha Saturday night. Number two, set up the tables in the shears and shul. Perspirate, work Shvitz, but don't do any Malacha. Number three, wear sitzis outside in a place where there's no Erev. Number four, we would tell him to write one letter. At least Rav Shmuel Salant would not tell him that. But according to Bashal Lemel, we would tell him to write one letter. So we've done four answers so far. Let's finish up with two other answers. Fifth answer is not as practical. But I will tell you, during Avraham Avinu's time, we know it was full of pagans. Avraham Avinu changed the world to monotheism. This is our parsha. In fact, Rashi quotes that Terach, his father, did tshuva. At the end of his life, Terach did tshuva. That's Naim L'Torah has a beautiful message. Avraham Avinu left, changed the whole world, and his father only becomes affected, influenced, only after Avraham Avinu leaves. It's a big mussar. You never know how you can click in with someone and mekarev them. You want instant food. You're mekarev the guy, you want him to be firm right away. It doesn't always happen. Many times it's delayed. You never know how a chesed can kick in much later. Doesn't have to kick in right away. And therefore we find the Chanoch, Amnachanoch Terach, did tshuva. So Avraham Avinu cleaned out his house from all the paganism. But you know what? There might have been some wood in there. There was Achi Asherah wood. Asherah tree is a tree that's worshipped. And there might have been some wood. A Jew's not allowed to have Avodah Zarah in his house. Lo yibuk b'abcha mumah min echedim. Not only can a Jew not do Avodah Zarah, he can't have any in his house. So you know what Avraham Avinu would do? Every Shabbos, he would take some Asherah wood that was left in his house, and he would take it outside to the street where there was no Erev, into Rishus Rabin. On the tzad, you yidim. On the tzad, you yidim. Why are you taking it out to the street? I don't want it in the street. I just want it out of my house. What's that called? A malacha shein tzrich legufa. You take a mace out of the house, you put it in the street. Rahmanul Islam. You don't want it in the street, you just want it out of the house. You dig a hole, you want the dirt, not the hole. Kornrib Shimon, that's Patar Walasr. Malacha shein tzrich legufa. Taisa says in Shabbos, Adi Dalam and Ab, because you're not doing it for the tachlis in the Mishkan. Rashi says the Patur Malacha shein tzrich legufa, Kornrib Shimon, is, it's not Baratzel. I don't want it willingly in the street. You'd beze him at Aleph, Rashi says, in Shabbos. I don't want it willingly. I just want it out of the house. Avraham Avinu took it to the street. He didn't want it per se in the street. He wanted it out of his house. That's Patar Velasser. But Malkum Mitzvah, it's no problem. It's not Nisad Rabbanim because he's doing it for this, getting out of this Shiloh. But if you're a Goy, if you're a Ben Noach not only can a Ben Noach only has the Isser to do Avodah Zarah, he can have Avodah Zarah in his house. I mean, it's probably not a great, great thing, but it's not an Isser. That Isser of Lo Yidbuk Bumba Min Acherim is only for Yidim. So on the Tzad, he was a Goy. Why is he taking the Atzei Asher out of his house? Must be he wants it in the street. Why else would he take it out of the house? He doesn't have to take it out of his house. If he's taking it out of the house and putting it in the street, it must be he wants it in the street. So on the Tzad, he's a Ben Noach. It's a Malach HaTzrich LeGufo. It's a Malach HaTzrich LeGufo. So on the Tzad, he's a Yid. It's part of the law. It's okay. because he doesn't want it in the house, doesn't per se want it in the street. It's like taking the mace out to the street. You don't per se want the mace in the street. You want it out of the house. That's Melech Shenshech Legufu. On the tzad that he's a Ben Noach, though, Ben Noach doesn't have to take the pagan wood out of the street, out of the house. The fact that he's taking out of the house and putting it in the street must be he wants it in the street. That's a Melech Shenshech Legufu. Again, the definition of Melech is the same for all five of the answers. For five of the six answers, always the same for that, except for that one answer. So that's a fifth answer. So this is a little bit harder practically to tell this guy, 2020, hey, I want you to go make sure to take some pagan wood out of your house and put it in the street. First of all, there's probably an Erev in the community. But nonetheless, even if there isn't, who has pagan wood in the street? But at least as we could solve what we'd solve it according to the Avos, and maybe it'd be somewhat of an Eitz. Then finally, we want to give the last answer from the great Gaon Rabbi Yosef Engel. That's how Rabbi Yosef Engel writes, turns everything upside down. Up till now, we've been assuming a goy is also to observe Shabbos. Skaiv Misa. It's interesting. The Rambam writes in Perek Tes Nosam Lachim, take a look. Every time he says Akum, he means the Akum is trying to steal from us. Every time he says Ben Noach, he's a good guy. Ben Noach can do any mitzvah if he's a good guy about it. So in that spirit, Rabbi Yosef Engel says, when a Ben Noach is Shabbos is Skaiv Misa, it means that a Ben Noach can really observe Shabbos. He'll just never get through a whole Shabbos without doing a melacha, at least b'shogeg. There is no p'tur of shogeg for goyim. The p'tur of shogeg is only for yidim. A goy that does gezel, every menachai, kili arayis, afodazore, shvichas domen, b'shogeg, not shvichas domen, but anything lamaisa that's b'shogeg is not a p'tur except for murder. Murder b'shogeg is a p'tur for a Ben Noach. It's not chayv misa. That's the only p'tura Ben Noach has b'shogeg. All the other dinim, there's no p'tura b'shogeg. So if that's the case, the Gemara is just predicting a Ben Noach could observe Shabbos, but he won't be able to get through a whole Shabbos without doing something at least wrong b'shogeg. The others were tzaddikim, they would. So on the tzad, they were yidim, they observed Shabbos. On the tzad, they were Ben Noach, they did the Shabbos, and they made sure they weren't over anything b'shogeg. So we would tell this fellow, make sure you hang around a person that's going to watch you, they won't do a malach b'shogeg, to observe the Shabbos. But this is against the five previous answers. The five previous answers said, Ben Noach observed Shabbos, Chayv Misa. This sixth answer is saying that he could theoretically, just he won't get through the whole Shabbos without doing a Malacha B'Shoyig at least. So to summarize, we had three answers to the Kasha. Why did Avram Avinu wait for the mitzvah of Mila? Either because he wanted to do a mitzvah also like the Gaon, either like the Brisker Rav, he wanted to have a pact, an agreement, which has to be bilateral, not unilateral, or the third answer, the second of Brisker Rav, is he wasn't a shame aral. To do it voluntarily would be a surgery. Wouldn't be a halachic milah. And then we said, how do you get out of this difficulty of how the Elvis were Mekayim Shabbos, and not just this difficulty, the shayla of the baby found in the street, or the fellow that comes to me in the shul in the middle of Shabbos and says, I'm not sure if the Beis Din there was Megarim was Orthodox. We would tell him, do Malacha Saturday night. We would tell him the Shvitz to set up the tables and chairs. Number three, we tell them to go outside where sitzes in a mukam where there's no Erev. Number four, we'd say write one letter, unless Shmuel Salant didn't like that answer, or Ashul Lemel did. Fifth answer would be take out pagan wood and put it in the street. And lastly, sixth answer, observe Shabbos, make sure you're careful, have a yid guide you to make sure you don't do the malach b'shogeg. Okay, I want to just close with, we should keep in mind that there's never any Yeush. Rav Kohen Shlita, the great Goyen, there's no Yehush in Orach Chaim, only Chesh and Mishpat. A Yid never gives up. Avram Avinu and Sarah were almost Miyayish about having children. They were Miyayish. Hashem made an amazing nace. Hashem made a nace, and they had children. And the truth is, you're never Miyayish. The Gemara says, Brachas Daf Yudah Manalfa, there's a sword at your neck. Never give up hope. Hashem could save you. Can you imagine that Avram Avinu takes Eliezer, 318 or 380 soldiers, they were big underdogs and they weren't Miyash, they won. Moshe Rabbeinu called his son Eliezer because there was someone who was about to what, execute him, and his neck became marble in Beis Din of Paro. He never gave up hope, he never Miyash. That's one of the tremendous chidushim you see from the Parsha. A person never should be Miyash, ever, ever. And Hashem made this miraculous way that teaches this notion that you should never give up hope, and a person should never be miyayish. I want to wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos. Everyone should be healthy, stay well, and continue the asmodi in the yeshiva b'zishim. Okay, I want to wish everyone a good Shabbos. Thank you. Any questions? Any kashas?
Rebbe?
Yes.
Where's the location of Rabbi Yosef Engel's Chiddush?
I believe it's in the Otras Yosef. Let me see if I can find the exact O's. See if I can find. You know, Rabbi Yosef Engel was one of the great Gaonim. He has many, many Sfarim. I believe it's in the Otras Yosef. Let me see if I can find it for you. No, I'm sorry. It's in the Beis HaOtzer. Simon Aleph Os Yudalid. Beis okay, Simon Aleph Os Yudalid. Okay. Any other
thank you very much.
My pleasure. Everyone have a wonderful Shabbos.
Thank you.